It's Colorado Matters. I'm Dan Myers. A newspaper reporter from Denver uses booze and drugs to blot out a costly mistake he made a decade earlier. Finally, he travels far and wide to try to untangle the mess he left behind. That's the heart of the first novel by someone known in Colorado for his education expertise. Alan Gottlieb left a reporting job with the Denver Post to work for the Piton Foundation. Now he's with the Public Education and Business Coalition, and he edits a monthly education magazine. He's been on this show half a dozen times before, talking about education. Now our topic is his new book, Ultimate Excursions. Alan, welcome to Colorado Matters.
It's nice to be here. Thanks.
Key parts of the book, set in Colorado. One location's a Denver newspaper that sounds suspiciously like the Denver Post, where you used to work.
I used to work the same time as a certain host of Colorado Matters, as a matter of fact.
Well, that would be me. So yeah. full disclosure, Alan and I were at the Post at the same time.
That's right. I was there for 9 years.
And the editor in the novel bears a striking resemblance to one Gil Spencer, who used to be the editor of the Post. Am I reading too much into this?
You are not. I would say that the only character in the entire book that is really modeled after a real person is the character of Sam Waters, the editor of the paper, which is called in the book the Denver Banner, but is closely modeled after the Denver Post when Gil Spencer was the editor in the mid-1990s.
So describe this editor. He's quite a character.
Well, Sam Waters is a very crusty, foul-mouthed, heart-of-gold-type editor who just has an unswerving dedication to making sure the truth is told and doesn't care who gets their toes stepped on in the process.
Is that a guy you like?
Oh, tremendously.
I mean, he sounds like a throwback.
Yeah, he is a throwback, and he's, I think, a very sympathetic character. He's pretty tough, but at the same time, he's somebody that you know you could trust with your life, basically, at any time.
Backing off of the Denver newspaper scene, I'm curious, just big picture, how you came up with the idea for the book.
Well, it's a slightly depressing story, but I guess that makes a good story.
Yeah, so. please tell it.
I was in the Peace Corps in the early 1980s, and a close friend of mine in the Peace Corps, after I had left, went on a vacation to Peru, and he had a little bit of a wild streak in him, to put it mildly. And while down there, he started indulging in all sorts of illicit substances, and in a really horrible way, died of a cocaine overdose in a cheap hotel room in Cusco, Peru, with another volunteer there with him and unable to do anything about the situation. And the story haunted me, and I wound up writing a short story about it many years ago, and then suddenly this idea for a novel around that story, built around that story, came to me, and that's the origins of it.
The idea came to you, but what were you doing? What are the circumstances for that?
Well, this is going to sound corny because I'm not the kind of person who would normally say I believe in such a thing as inspiration, but I was on the way to a little mini vacation with a bunch of friends, actually Denver Post friends, although I had already left the Post at that time, on Lake Powell. We had rented a houseboat together, and a few people were already out there on the boat, and about three or four of us got on a water taxi at, I think, Bullfrog Marina at Lake Powell, and it was a freezing cold late summer, early fall day, and it was just, there was a driving rain, which isn't that common in the desert, but that's what was happening. It was early in the morning. We got on this water taxi. I had a poncho on. I was sitting there kind of huddled over, just cold and miserable, and this water taxi was bumping on its way out to Lake Powell, and it was about an hour to 90-minute ride, if I remember right, to where the houseboat was. And I was just sitting there, and this idea came to me in a flash, all in kind of one piece, about how I could take the beginnings of a novel from that short story and build it all the way through to the end. And then I just kind of sat there with my head in my hands for the hour and a half and tried to kind of build an outline in my head, and then jumped off the water taxi onto the boat and just had to find a paper and pencil and write an outline out before I could, you know, start drinking beer, which was the real purpose of the vacation.
So the secret for inspiration, as far as you're concerned, is cold, miserable, covered by a poncho, and things will come to you.
And anticipating beer.
Yeah, okay. Did your Denver journalism background help you with the book? I mean, journalists, sort of fact by fact, and this is a novel. You're making things up here. I'm curious about how that played into it.
I would say that it's more the process of writing and the discipline of writing helped me a lot more than I would say the actual background, newspaper background, although I think that newsrooms are such lively and fascinating places, and they're kind of a dying institution as the newspaper and media world changes so much. So I think that the kind of the inspiration of wanting to tell what a newsroom is really like helped me.
The main character in the novel is Tim Lake, mm-hmm. and he's not all that
pleasant a fellow.
Right, and I hope anyone who reads the book doesn't think that it's autobiographical, because it's certainly in that sense it's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who goes through this horrible traumatic experience in his kind of early adulthood when he is not a fully formed adult by any stretch of the imagination, and it just completely retards his forward progress for a very long time.
And, I mean, talk more about that. Retards it how? What does he do?
Well, it's a combination of, without giving too much about the book away, a combination of his bad reaction in the circumstance of this guy dying in front of him. He freezes and just is unable to do anything to help him. And then after that is basically pressured into lying about the circumstances of this guy's death, doesn't really fight the effort to make him lie, is isolated from all his compatriots, and then is just tormented by guilt and self-loathing as a result, and kind of freezes in place for 10 years after that. You know, my hope was that as I wrote this through, and certainly from draft to draft, that he became slightly more sympathetic as the book progresses, and so that by the end maybe you see some light at the end of the tunnel for him. But certainly at the beginning, and he does some really despicable things at various points in this book that are, again, usually the results of an inability to kind of take action or just flat out cowardice in some cases.
Is it fun to write about despicable things?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to write about that, but it's a lot more fun to write about that than it would be to write, you know, Little Mary Sunshine or something, I think. But I guess I have a somewhat skeptical, cynical view of the world and the people. And, you know, I think there are wonderful people out there, and everyone has a lot of good in them. But it's more interesting to write about this side of people and the ways people cope with being that way.
Now, how does that relate to your experience? Is that just made up? You imagined all that guilt and that this main character feels, or was that reflecting something that you felt from your Peace Corps past?
No, you know, I think that's just totally made up. It bears no resemblance to anything that specifically that I actually saw happen to any one person.
You were working on this book on and off for, what, 9 years or so, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just about.
Over the whole process, what was the hardest part?
The hardest part was getting rejected, I would say. Over and over, after writing a few drafts and starting to send it out to agents, to publishers, and just getting this, it wasn't even like, we read your book and there was something interesting in it, but it doesn't seem quite to be the right thing for us. It was more like, no. You know, we read the first paragraph and it didn't catch us, so no. And it just was it felt demeaning and discouraging just to get over and over again, not even considered for, you know, well, we'll read a chapter before we reject it. It was more like, well, we don't know who you are, despite the fact that you've had another nonfiction book published and you've got a journalism background. You're not based in New York and you're not connected to somebody we know, so no. And it just was hard after a while.
Did you ever give up?
I gave up many times. Then something would always get me back to picking it back up or giving it to somebody else to read and then revising it and trying to send it out again.
But really gave up, like you put the novel away and said, that's it, I am done with this thing.
Yeah, I would say so. And the last time was probably the one time I really gave up. And this was a time when somebody who's a really good friend of mine who happens to be an editor in New York, I sent it to her to read. And she said, you know, this is really good and clearly you've got some writing talent, but I think you need to kind of pull this thing apart and restructure it almost from scratch. That just really discouraged me because I respect her judgment a lot and I think she's very smart and she does this for a living. So I basically just said, well, that's it, and I put it away. And then I started thinking about it and I thought, she's really smart and I respect her a lot and I actually think she's wrong on this. And then it just so happened that my good friend Mark Stevens, who had a book published by this same publishing house.
And I need to say we've interviewed Mark Stevens about his book Antler Dust on this program.
Right. It just so happened that right at the time that all this was going on and I'd sort of started to think, well, you know, I actually think that this book is ready to publish the way it is rather than having to be pulled apart. I happened to be spending a weekend with Mark and some other friends and family, and it was the day that Antler Dust, the very first copy of his book, fell into his hands, and he came up to this cabin in Estes Park with it in his hands all excited, and we were all kind of crowded around him looking at it and going, oh, man, that is so cool. And I asked him, do you think this publisher might be interested in reading my manuscript? And Mark had read it, and he went, yeah, that's a great idea. I'll contact him Monday. And by Saturday, I had a deal with the guy to publish the book. I mean, that's how fast it went. So it's always darkest before it's pitch black.
Well, and so now you can hold the copy of your book in your hands. Does that mean you want to hold a copy of a second novel in your hands soon?
Oh, I'd love to do that. I'm not sure, given what I just said about the sort of demeaning process of getting rejected over and over, I don't ever want to have to grovel like that again. I would like to think that I kind of proved myself with this, that I can at least do it. And I really want a publisher somewhere out there, even if they don't, like, just shovel money on me, just to say, we'd like you to do another one, and here's some sort of a contract to do one so that I can go into the process of writing it knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that it's actually going to be published, or is likely to be published when I finish it.
It's addictive?
It's addictive, and, you know, I never thought that I knew how or would be able to write through something that's this long and complex, and I found that I could, and that I really enjoyed the kind of challenge and the puzzle of it. And I've already got another idea that's forming that I would really like and have started writing, but have stopped just because I need to pay attention to this one for a while. But I'd really like to do that. I'm not sure I'm willing again to do it purely on spec the way I did this one.
Alan, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me here.
Alan Gottlieb has just published his first novel, Ultimate Excursions.